Connecticut Public Radio. I'm John Henry Smith. Governor Lamont's executive order that will allow those who want to use absentee balloting to claim fear of coronavirus as a reason, well, that has some state Republicans upset. Here to answer some of the questions they raise is Secretary of the State Denise Merrill. Secretary, State GOP Chair J.R. Romano says Connecticut lacks the infrastructure to make mail-in voting fair. Is that true?
Well, we've been doing mail-in voting, so-called. We call them absentee ballots for about 100 years in Connecticut. So there's nothing new here. We are anticipating that more people will want to vote by absentee ballot because they are afraid of their health, and rightly so. So Governor Lamont was absolutely correct in not making people make a choice between their health and their vote. People are frantic about it. So, you know, the fact that they're claiming that somehow this will lead to widespread mail-in voting and or vote by mail, as it's now called, is absolutely incorrect. His executive order was in very, very specific circumstances. No vaccine yet, just for the primary in August.
So then the fears that Republicans have that this is a sort of end run around the Constitution in order to put this in place now for the primary and then just sort of conveniently leave it there for the long term, that not the case?
Well, it can't happen. The governor's executive order only extends until September. Now, could the legislature come in and also facilitate people being able to vote more absentee ballots? Yes, they could. And I'm hoping they do, because I think it's a legitimate fear that people have.
Len Fasano put out a letter the day after the executive order came out swearing that this was unconstitutional. What point does he have at all?
Well, I'll just tell you what the Constitution, the state Constitution of Connecticut, says. It has never been tested or even used very much, but one provision is you can get an absentee ballot if you're unable to go to the polls due to sickness. Now, that's the question. I don't know if that applies in an emergency situation, for example. Does the governor's executive power at this point override any part of that? Or is it just a different interpretation of what sickness means? I would argue that this is it's in a statute that he's reinterpreting. Actually, there is a statute that interprets parts of this, and he's just adding to that. That in this situation with COVID, with no vaccine available, if that's all still true by the time of the August 11th primary, then people will be able to call this sickness because they'll be technically sickness everywhere.
The Republicans are hopping mad that Connecticut is holding a primary that they say is completely unnecessary. Donald Trump is running unopposed. The delegates are picked. So why are we holding a Republican primary?
There was a fellow named Rocky De La Fuente, who's a kind of a perennial presidential candidate, so he's not unknown to us, what did qualify for the ballot and has informed us in writing that he wishes to remain. So I really have no legal way to take him off the ballot, nor does the governor. He still could. He does have time to take his name off the ballot. If he wrote to me in writing and said, I wish to be removed from the ballot because I have suspended my campaign or whatever, we would absolutely take him off the ballot and there would be no Republican primary.
According to J.R. Romano, he says the greatest tragedy through all this is that the Democrats have done nothing to preserve the security of the absentee ballot vote by mail procedure. He says there are massive holes in our voter rolls and in our infrastructure to execute elections. He points to a 2019 court case, which I assume is the Bridgeport case. He didn't specifically say that. That's my assumption. He talks about explosive testimony about how mail-in ballots were fraudulent and that you and the governor have not introduced any legislation or taken any other action to do anything about that. So there, that's out there. What's your reaction?
Well, actually, nothing could be further from the truth. I have worked for years cleaning up voter rolls. And we've done more to clean up our voter rolls in the last 10 years than ever before. To understand this, you have to understand first that the voter rolls are maintained at the local town level. So we have 169 towns, and the town registrars, elected by their town, are the ones that take the names off and put the names on. There is no central place where we manage these lists. And we've done more. When I say we've done more to clean up the list, I mean what we've done specifically was to enable people to change their registration or fix their registration at the DMV. That has done more to make our rolls accurate than anything else. You have to remember, our first priority is to make sure that every eligible voter is able to vote. So we're very, very careful before we take people off the list. So it is actually not surprising that there are so many people still on the list. So every time you look at a list, it's a snapshot in time. And yes, there are probably lots of people on there who have moved, sometimes just across town, but they're still on the list. There's many checks and balances. There's a canvass every year. The registrars routinely check with other states to get death records. So there's lots and lots of ways that these lists are checked routinely by local registrars. And there's one Republican and one Democrat in every town, and they cross-check each other as well. And by the way, the registration at the DMV and the ability to change your address has been blocked by the Republicans for years. And they blocked it again this year when we tried to codify it in law. We're doing it still, and it's done more to make our rolls accurate than anything else we've done in the state. But as far as the Bridgeport, and I keep hearing this about, oh, there were fraudulent ballots in Bridgeport. Actually, from what I can understand, and by the way, that one of the cases is still under investigation. I was the one that actually brought the case to the Election Enforcement Commission. What happened there was a lot of people were claiming that local candidates and operatives of candidates were kind of trying to force the frail elderly living in housing projects and nursing homes to sign ballots, to help them fill out the ballots. And for me, that is not what I think of as absentee ballot fraud. That is voter intimidation, and that needs to be seriously stopped. And that is actually a federal offense, and we did come down hard on that. But that is not what people think of. When they think of absentee ballot fraud, they're mostly thinking, oh, fraudulent ballots, people that shouldn't be voting are turning in ballots. And nothing could be further from the truth as to what actually happened from what we can tell. The case is still being investigated. So I'll reserve judgment on that until I hear what really happened. But those were the allegations.
Well, in regards to the absentee balloting process coming up August 11th, now, from what I understand, there are going to be very secure bins placed in a variety of towns, in every town across Connecticut, and in the five biggest towns, I hear you're going to have two bins in each one. Mm-hmm. Why are you convinced that that is going to be secure?
Only necessary because town halls are just not open. And there is no other way for us to do this. And I think it's very secure, and people can feel very confident if they drop their ballot in that box. It's a lot like dropping your ballot in a mailbox, which is routinely how they are mailed back.
Chairman Romano decries the fact that we don't use signature matching software in the state for our elections. Why not?
Because we have a different system, because we don't mail ballots to people. See, those states mail the ballot directly to people. If you voted in the last election in Oregon or Washington or Utah, they mail your ballot right to you. We mail this year for the first time, actually. We're going to mail applications for absentee ballots. That's the signature that's checked. So you have to send back your application, and then they will check you off the list, check the signature, and then mail you your ballot. So we have an extra step in our process.
But that the matching software wouldn't come to pair, wouldn't bear fruit for even the applications?
Well, maybe eventually we will develop something like that, but it's never been necessary because we haven't had very many absentee ballots. We're very restrictive. We're the most restrictive state in the country on absentee ballots by far. You know, the biggest problem we have on Election Day is not any of this voter fraud or any of that. It's people get up to the desk, to the table, and they say, I'm John Smith, and I live at the
Hey.
And they say, well, sorry, you're not here.
And had to use my name, huh?
Well, sorry about that.
That's all right.
I'm sure you get a lot of that.
I do.
and usually it's administrative error. You know, somebody filed it in the wrong place, or maybe the street was wrong. So we have a way to cure that now as well. It's called Election Day registration. And in case there are errors like that, you can go to town hall and re-register and vote right there. We do everything we can to make sure every eligible voter can vote.
Secretary of the State Denise Merrill, thank you so much for weighing in and spending so much time with me.
Thank you so much for asking. And by the way, I am very upset about what I consider a very cynical effort to undermine our elections. I think now of all times in our history, we need to pull together here.